consistency is key. Knowing what to do, that's half the battle. It might even be just 20% of the battle. 80% is the showing up every day. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Stay Hungry podcast. It's Andy. I'm flying solo today, and today we're going to be talking about it's something quite interesting. I think it was based today we're going to talk about getting to the fucking point. This is so weird. I haven't recorded a solo podcast for bloody months, so I'm sort of looking at an empty chair where Joel should have been, but the camera's over there, so am I supposed to look at the camera? Am I supposed to look at the chair? Who knows? Maybe we'll just look over there and picture Joel, but Joel's in the air at the moment, flying to WrestleMania. He's watching, to be clear, not taking part. But yeah, he's going over to WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, so he's not going to be here for a week. So, yeah, again, flying solo. This particular episode is about the importance of having clarity in your copy, getting to the point. And I was prompted to do this one by watching the Jumanji sequel, of all things. Got to be honest, preferred that to the original, as in the original Dwayne Johnson one, which I much preferred to the original, the Robin Williams one, which, as amazing as Robin Williams was, I thought was a bit shit and boring. But anyway, this Jumanji sequel, the Donald Glover character in it, someone says about him, he talks too slow, and by the time he gets to the point, you're dead. And this is so important when it comes to the message in your marketing, because there is so much fluff out there. Now, for those of you who follow Codebreak stuff, you'll know that Joel and I, we talk about fluff a hell of a lot. Now, fluff, it can mean theory, marketing stuff that might sound cool, but has it actually been tried, tested, and implemented at the pointy end? So, you know, it could mean guru speak. Again, shit that sounds good and sparkly and jargony, but it's actually bollocks when it comes to practical application. But fluff can also mean how you write, which is what the main point of this podcast is, and because the visuals in your marketing, of course, they're important. They're what, you know, draw the eye in. Like in a restaurant, the first bite is with the eye, right? So if you're using shit quality pictures, if you're using poor quality video, you know, a lot of people are still using stock imagery when there's probably no need to. You can take good enough pictures with your iPhone, or just do what ourselves and lots of other businesses do and pay a good professional photographer. But on that note, I will say, make sure you brief the photographer properly. Just like if you're getting your website done, brief your website designer properly. So a photographer needs to know the type of pictures you want, but where they are going to be used as well. Is it going to be for ads? Is it going to be a company blogs? Is it for your website, etc., etc.? So very important to brief a photographer well. So yeah, get your visuals right, absolutely. But it's the words that will accompany those visuals that will take someone from being a prospect to becoming a lead, if you're running, you know, like data capture kind of ads, or from a prospect straight through to a sale. You know, if someone had told me at school that, you know, I could earn money by writing, I would have thought they were mad, but it would have saved me a lot of time, effort, and money, I've got to be honest. Because, you know, a lot of us, most of us, we take writing for granted, but going through university and then going to ITV, you know, cutting my teeth in the heart of London's media land is where I learned there's a massive difference between knowing how to write for Joe Public, knowing how to write for your mates, and knowing how to write commercially. So the world is really noisy. Steve Jobs said back in 1997, the world is a noisy place. So fuck knows what you think about it now. It is, like, you know, exponentially more noisy than back then. So you have to stand out. So some of your, you know, what you write does come down to volume and definitely consistency. How much writing, how many posts, how many blogs, how many videos you're putting out there, and are you doing it regularly? I mean, people say to us, oh yeah, podcast, you got a podcast, you and Joel. Oh yeah, I've been thinking about doing my own podcast. Have you really? Oh yeah, I'm going to launch my own podcast. Great. And they either never do, or they release about 5 or 6 episodes and then they go off the boil because I think they're expecting some kind of miraculous return. It's like I put out a podcast episode and do you know what? The phone didn't ring once. It's like fucking hell. If your goal is sales, believe me, launching a podcast is going to be so far down your list compared to other stuff. So consistency is key. Knowing what to do, that's half the battle. It might even be just 20% of the battle. 80% is the showing up every day, especially if you're not investing in ads. If you're, for whatever reason, if your plan is to grow and scale your business organically, one, I'd say, fucking hell, good luck. But two, you have to be prepared to show up and put content out there, the right sort of content, every single day. So when you look at someone like the hugely successful James Smith, the online PT, you know, he's only just started running ads now, really. He built his empire on organic marketing, but he'll be the first to admit he turned up every single day. You know, sometimes he'll screenshot like one of his Facebook posts from when he started, and like, you know, it only got 3 likes and one of them was his mum, you know, and people say to him, James, why are you sending emails out every day? You've got like 10 people on your database. But then that became 12, then 15, then 20, then 30, 40. Now he's over like 1 million followers. It's because he turned up every day and it took him 5 or 6 years. And what we're seeing more of is that people don't want to wait that long. I mean, even with ads, to be honest, it's not going to happen overnight. And so are you prepared to turn up every day with the right kind of messaging? And I stress the right kind of messaging, because if what you're putting out is fluff that is lovely and sounds good, and, you know, it's just like how J.K. Rowling writes, you know, that isn't going to do you any favours. Again, you're not writing for Joe Public. You're not writing for your mates. And I'm probably older than the people listening to this podcast, probably put together. But in my day, when we were growing up, you didn't write to your mates because that meant writing postcards and letters, which, of course, you never did. You phoned them up or you met up with them in person. But now, of course, lots of people write to their mates because they're texting them all the time, emailing, DMing, Messenger, whatever. But again, writing for your mates is so different. And, you know, a great example is the use of fluffy adjectives and adverbs. You know, filling your copy with adjectives and adverbs, one, it can make it sound like you're just trying to convince yourself. So, for example, you know, your product isn't just awesome, it's super awesome. Your turnaround isn't just quick, it's incredibly quick. So it sounds like you're convincing yourself, but also the core goodness of what you offer just gets lost amongst all that fluff. Now, I'm not saying you need to be like, you know, 100% direct and factual and technical, but it's just right. What shit can you strip out? And even sometimes, you know, we all want to give so much value. You might be filling, I don't know, say your website full of bullet points about what you offer. And right, I'm gonna write loads and loads. But someone could read your first 9 bullet points and be like, yep, brilliant, brilliant. But then the 10th bullet point could be like, no, I don't want that. And they're gone. So sometimes we are guilty of over-serving in our marketing, thinking that almost like the more we can write, the better. That's not always the case. Now, I'm not saying you can't be yourself. You know, if you write naturally, maybe like loads of emojis, things like that. I'm not saying, right, you have to strip all that out, but it's like, who are you writing for? And that's why any marketing strategy has to start with that in mind. So with our marketing academy, it all starts with market, and then we move on to message, and then we move on to media. So market, who are you writing for? Because if they like a couple of emojis, you've got to know that. If they like loads of emojis, you've got to know that. Do they like slang and, like, you know, modern kind of language, or should it be a bit more formal? But writing that doesn't compromise your values and who you are, but you got to meet your audience in the middle, because otherwise they ain't going to buy off you. So again, to stress, that doesn't just mean being all factual in your writing. So good examples of recommended reading on this front, Dan Kennedy, pretty much everything you hear from every marketing guru out there all comes from Dan Kennedy. Alex Hormozy, obviously very popular at the moment. the godfather or the father of advertising, David Ogilvy. So Ogilvy on advertising, if you forget some of the old-fashioned values in that book, but focus on the value it delivers, that will really help with your copywriting. So David Ogilvy, if you're not familiar, a massive advertising pioneer of direct response copywriting. So he used to write the copy for companies such as Rolls-Royce. And one of his most famous examples is something like a 500-word advertorial about Rolls-Royce. And there isn't a single adjective in that copy. And, you know, he said that sold a lot of Rolls-Royces. An interesting fact on that front, a load of Rolls-Royces were delivered to America on some container ship, and there was a massive fault in a lot of them, which wasn't good at all. And David Ogilvy resigned the account. He said, yeah, I don't want to work for you guys anymore. That's a really good book, Ogilvy on Advertising, because, you know, you're using unnecessary words. Maybe you fall into the trap of you talk about yourself all the time. We do this, we do that, we have 17 offices, we were... No one gives a shit. It's about you, as in your potential customer. You know, I'm not going to give away all our secrets, but basically, for every time you say we in your website, in your emails, in your blogs, you should say you 3 times. And that can quite easily be done by flipping a sentence. Instead of, what's an example? We have 30 years experience. You can fit that to, you have 30 years experience to call upon, because it is all about the reader. Now, you probably already know this, but it's probably the number one cardinal sin I see in most marketing copy, is that people just banging on about themselves all the time. Just like when you meet someone networking, you know, oh, hi, I'm Andy. Oh, hi, I'm John. Oh, I do this, I do that. And you're like, right, well, fucking hell, you haven't asked me a single question. And when I meet someone new at an event or a conference or whatever, that's all I tend to do, just ask questions and find out about them. And it also lets me know that if they haven't asked me a single question back within 15 minutes, I ain't going to be of any use to them, and vice versa, and I'll just politely make my excuses and walk away. Questions are the steering wheel of the mind, and you can only find out if you can help someone by asking questions. Now, I'm going on a bit of a tangent here now, and Joel isn't even with me, going off on a tangent on my own. Never thought that was possible. So maybe a good starting point is to have a look at your website. You know, are there loads of adjectives and adverbs in there? Is the main benefit of why people should choose you actually hidden away by all this fluff? Are you using superlatives such as very all the time? You know, that can be a sign of lazy writing. There's no other way to talk about it, really. So something, you know, it shouldn't be very good. It should be excellent. Something shouldn't be very strong. It should be powerful, etc., etc. And Mark Twain said that bloody hundreds of years ago. You know, the word very should pretty much never be used, especially in marketing copy. There are other weak words like try. You know, you shouldn't try to do anything. You know, we aim for 100% customer satisfaction. No. We provide 100% customer satisfaction. If you don't say it. You know, as Yoda said, and I'm always banging on about, do or do not, there is no try. Yet most marketing copy I see always contains words such as try, aim, strive, our goal. You know, it's not like what you want to do, it's what you actually do, what you deliver. So there we go, short and sweet, just like myself. Hope you've got lots of value out of that. If things like this float your boat, if you're looking at your marketing and realizing the messaging isn't exactly where you need it to be, you know, visit cobreak.co.uk. Maybe we can arrange a call, something like that. You know, we're only looking for one done for you client at the moment. But maybe the Marketing Academy is more going to be suited to your needs, where we will train and teach you how to niche down to your customer avatar, as in like how to target the people most likely to buy off you, rather than wasting time, effort, money on people who are never going to buy off you or who are going to be a pain in the ass. We'll train you on your message, which is what we talked about today, how to write copy that sells, not fluff. And then media, know where your ideal customers are hanging out so you can put your message in front of them. So simply visit cobreak.co.uk to find out more. It's awesome. See you on the flip side.